Welcome to Intrepid Heroes, an actual play podcast of the Starfinder 2nd Edition playtest adventure, A Cosmic Birthday. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM.
I'm Scott, and I'm playing Zosra Shizori, a Patra Skirmisher operative who's looking for a new cause.
I'm Stephanie, and I'm playing Starchild, a Soki envoy full of energy from the Drift.
I'm Tim, and I'm playing Krizek Vare, a Warblood Vest soldier with a knack for violence.
I'm Mark. I'm playing Iswar, a Kasathan Graviton Solarian.
I'm John, and I'm playing Dr. Vic Dume, an android witchwarper seeking a lost reality.
I'm Ron, and I'm playing Jode, a human mystic looking to make the galaxy a better place.
And now, on to the episode. And welcome to Intrepid Heroes, as we continue our playthrough the Starfinder 2nd Edition playtest adventure, A Cosmic Birthday!
Yay!
Hurrah!
When last we left our heroes, happy birthday, everybody. When last we left our heroes, they had found a mysterious observatory projection and were attacked by some robots, found some individuals lurking amongst the catwalks, a couple of these ghost couriers, just some Yusoki who were creeping around down here, and then stumbled their way into some sort of maintenance bay where a massive pile of goo oozed down from the ceiling to fall at your feet, just in front of the people who are in there, writhing its protoplasmic mass that seems to be maybe even composed of millions of tiny nanobots.
Yes.
Yeah, it was goo. And there's also a defective robot in the corner, just kind of like going doing its robot thing. But there's all sorts of junk in here, and then you see a console on the far wall that might be sort of fuses that you're looking for to power on the elevator you discovered off by the observatory to finally get out of the ghost levels, or maybe not. Maybe the elevator doesn't go anywhere. Well, no, we'll have to find out. And because of that, let's roll for initiative.
Already?
Shoot, yeah,
we kind of thing, yeah.
All right. It's not like you're going to talk to this ooze and this robot.
Nope. No talking to oozes. Strictly opposed.
I don't have a little rolly thing next to mine.
You should.
Oh, that's right.
You might be able to click it. It might be invisible to you. Let's just say that.
Okay. Oh, it is.
Yes.
It's some, invisible.
Sometimes these bits of the Foundry HUD become slightly invisible to people.
I see.
All right. Look at them rolls. All sorts of rolls have occurred. Some people got above 20. Some people got very low. We'll find out who did what as we continue. Now, unfortunately, the first one to go here is my broken observer class robot.
Yep.
Who is currently suppressed. Why are you suppressed? You shouldn't be suppressed. That's the sort of thing. So it's just sort of like intruder alert. And it fires a pistol shot down here at the closest person, which is, of course, Krizek. Mm-hmm. So here we go. A little pulse caster pistol blast in your general direction. For a 16, which is going to miss your AC. So just zaps past your head. And you know what? As we learn from these guys don't have much to do except try to shoot you a bunch of times. A 19 on the second roll, even with the map, that is going to hit you and do a fun amount of damage, some 7 points of electricity damage.
Oh.
And the final strike, final Hail Mary type of strike. Is a big miss with a 13. So that's the robot's turn. It's just sort of kind of like sitting on, it's not hovering there like the other ones were. It's kind of literally sitting on a pile of junk in the corner, just firing this sort of pistol that's sort of attached to, not even its arms. Pew, pew, pew. And we're on to Jode. You're in the corridor outside of the maintenance bay here, although you can see past Eswar and Krizek the ooze oozing about.
Well, the ooze seems like a, frankly, seems like big trouble. Will you remind me,
Mark, what type of damage do you do? Like,
typically bludgeoning.
Bludgeoning?
Yes.
That is what I thought. All right. Well, I'm going to manifest an injury echo on the creature. I'm going to predict it's going to take bludgeoning damage. Is it within 30 feet of me?
Can you injury echo something that hasn't been injured yet?
Yeah, because I can pull from the future or the past.
Oh. LOL.
Yeah. So it's going to require a basic will save, if you don't mind.
Alrighty. Here I go. This ooze is remarkably willful. No, it is a 13, which is a failure.
It is. Let me see.
Roll that damage.
Damn it. Roll damage. Okay, so a couple things. First, two bludgeoning damage. Not great. Not terrible. But if the target takes bludgeoning damage before the end of my next turn, it takes an additional 1d4 bleed damage.
All right.
Is that interesting? An ongoing damage?
Yeah.
Because I have accurately predicted what type of damage it might take.
All right. Well done. You have one more action, I believe, too. So.
I have. Now, I don't know, because I can't see it. Which direction did the observer robot shoot from? The south part of the room?
You saw the northern north. Part of the room, just sort of to the right of Krycek as you're looking at his tail.
Okay. I am actually going to move into the room to there.
Okay. Now you can see everything.
Yes. And the thing has been shooting. Is it slumped like it can't move, or is it just crouched like it hasn't moved?
It seems like it might not be hasn't turned on its like hover jets. It's just sort of sitting on a pile of junk, because these things don't have any kind of legs to speak of. They're just kind of cones with a sort of targeting reticule in the center, two arms, and then also a gun.
I see.
That is not attached to either of the arms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just I'll give you all a reminder what these little guys look like here. The gun looks like it's kind of like coming attached to the elbow of one of the arms, and it's sort of almost like a third arm, bisected kind of arm.
Gotcha.
All right. Great. Jode, are you carrying any kind of item or weapon?
I have my gun.
Okay.
I haven't fired it, but I do in fact have
in your hands.
Yeah, I've got my Aeon rifle in my hand.
Okay. This ooze comes squirming its way closer to everybody. And
I have a feeling that's going to happen.
I don't even think it needs to get that close. From here, it is going to reach out with a pseudopod and smack at Jode. It also seems like it's trying to grab his rifle away from him.
Okay. Honestly, did not expect it to go this soon.
But it was there in the tracker the whole time.
That's true.
It was.
Would the movement provoke?
Would I be able to
shoot?
Are you within? I think you need to be within 30 feet. Is that right?
I need to be within the first range increment of my weapon that I've got out.
Okay, which is 140,
160. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yes. Give me a shot while this thing oozes forward.
Okie dokie.
Oh yeah. I see. You're technically flanked there, Ron. That's why you're getting
I was wondering why my AC had gone down by two.
Yeah, they're going to have some cover on this too, of course. That is that weapon. There it is.
Fire away.
Oh, I guess I didn't select them.
That's all right. That is a hit.
Nice.
Very nice.
Pow.
2 points.
Burning it slightly with some fire damage. But in the same time, this pseudopod comes out and strikes Jode directly in the face. You're going to take basically 10 points of damage, 6 of which is bludgeoning and 4 of which is acid damage, as it's like some of your clothing gets kind of like eaten away by all these tiny little nanobots.
Alrighty, well, acid damage in the face is not great.
That's not the best place to get acid damage.
I hurt pretty bad. It looks like I couldn't take that again.
Whoa, what?
What is your reflex DC?
It is 15.
No. Okay. So this thing, so the pseudopod comes out, slaps you across the face, and as it's sort of oozing down, removing, pulling itself away, like it sticks a bit to your weapon, kind of wrenching it from your grasp. It's not complete. Hey. You're not completely disarmed because that was not a critical. Okay. But you have the basically the sort of disarm effect. I should have clicked the disarm button over here. Oh, it's not on there. Anyway, yeah. So that's what happens. I'm going to get that disarm effect on you because basically you're out of. You can correct this by taking an action.
I see.
Starchild.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. I would like to move to here. Only. Aha! Whoa! Look at that! I moved. And then, can I? I'd like to do an electric arc.
Ooh, all right.
To the ooze.
To the ooze. Now with electric arc, you can pick two targets.
Oh well,
up to
can
two,
I do
up
both?
To two targets.
Oh yeah, these are they within sort of 30 feet of each other?
They are.
Yeah, let me do both. That'd be great. Okay.
The fact that Joe is in between them is irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. You can just sort of fork the lightning.
It will pass harmlessly through him.
Exactly.
Ooh.
There you go.
Not bad, but I get a save, I believe.
You do.
Is that a reflex save?
It is DC 17, it said.
All right. Well, the assembly ooze failed.
Good.
And
the whopping 4 points.
Well, everything is something.
Oh,
the robot also failed.
I just realized that because I moved, I can't do get 'em.
That is correct. If you go and cast that spell,
guys.
you haven't gotten yep. them.
Mm. Nope, they have not been gutted.
Okay.
When you arc this electricity out from sort of out just outside the room, just barely being able to catch the robot, it takes this electricity and it like you can see it like shorting out. Its arms are just kind of like start going crazy, lifting up and down, and sort of punching at nothing. Meaning it took a little more damage than 4 damage.
Or you've charged it up.
Or you've charged it.
Yeah.
All right, Eswar, it is your turn.
Question: this pile of junk here at the on the south end, is that impeding movement at all?
We'll call that difficult terrain. So okay. It takes you nice. Extra square to get through it.
Okay, because I'd kind of like to move it so that he's flanked between me and Jode.
Do that. Right. The question: you'd have to be directly opposite because it's diagonal. Okay. And that square is not like a full square because the wall kind of is angled here.
Okay.
I don't know if you can get in that.
So is
it? Yes, you can't quite. There's not enough space. There's not enough space for you in that space.
Okay. In that case, I guess there's not much point. Unless I've got enough movement, maybe to get. So Christ, I can do that. Let's see how much. Movement have I got here? 5, 10, 10.
Your speed is 30, pretty fast. Mm-hmm. Your speed is 30, pretty fast. Yeah. So I think you can get around. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I can get around him and basically get
squares. Yeah.
Over here. Oops, too far.
Yep, sure
Something
thing.
Like that. Okay. So that's one movement. And then I'm going to try and hit him. With my solar weapon.
All right, that is a hit.
18 will hit. Excellent. Very and nice. A nice beefy 11 points of bludgeoning damage.
Yes.
Basically hit it exactly where Jode sort of predicted the wound would happen.
That's right.
Ripping open this nice. Ooze, which for some reason is not immune to bleed damage.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow!
Crush the neonites.
And so Jode's thing happens as well, right? His
yes, but that happens. The bleed doesn't happen until the end of the creature's turn.
Okay,
so it is taking persistent bleed damage at this point.
Right. Wonderful. I've got one more action. I will take another strike. And that's a good roll. 20.
Nice. 20. Yeah. 20 is a hit.
Really good. 20 is a hit. Let's damage him again. Oh. That's only 6. But
only 6. Every little bit helps.
Okay. Yeah, every little bit helps.
Absolutely. Right.
All right.
I mean,
Dr. Dumay.
Vic Dumay. I can't see this robot. Where do I
not
think it's
at? Not from
where
you're standing. It's the northern side of the room, as you've seen the blast sort of shooting
all right,
down from the south.
So I kind of want to get in where I can oh, there he is, there. Okay.
Yep.
So I'll move to there, and then I'm going to activate my quantum field. So I'm going to start doing this mystical reality warping thing. And I'm going to drop, I'm going to center it right there at that intersection. So in a 15-foot radius around that intersection, all of a sudden now, all of the enemy creatures take a -5 status penalty to their speed checks.
Oh, boy.
And my allies will gain a bonus when I take a move action. Inside, and I haven't taken one yet, but I've activated my quantum field. So I also want to warp time for this injured whatever this thing
ooze.
Is.
Yeah, it's going
ooze.
Ooze. Ooziness.
All right, now what does that do?
And so when I warp time, I'm going to push it forward. I'm going to accelerate it so that my quantum field comes to an end of its natural cycle, and the creature will take possibly some void damage and maybe be enfeebled.
I have succeeded with a 20 on that fortitude save.
Then I think they are unaffected.
No, they take half damage. Oh, so they roll take half your damage, and I'll take half of that.
All right. So
if I take void damage, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows indeed?
4. I rolled a 4.
You know.
I do know. Right.
And that is my 3 actions. And my quantum field, I think, ends because of this, because I pushed it to the end.
What does your quantum field look like? This is your first time using this, right? What does it look like in this area?
Yeah.
So basically, it kind of makes the whole space, like the floor and the area around it, kind of like this cylinder of shimmering shimmering, sparkling light, or whatever in there. So it looks like it's a little bit out of phase with the reality here. It's kind of shifting it a little bit to another reality. In this case, it shifts it and changes the time in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay.
So, wow.
That's cool. Yeah.
I wish I had an ability to put a little nubbin on these on the bad guys and the people who are in the field to remind you of your what's going on here. But if you're in you can see the field on the foundry, you've got a little bonus to your speed because it doesn't end.
So it says you push it, so it's near the end of its natural then.
Well, you're pushing the creature to the end of its natural life.
Okay, got it.
It has nothing to do with the field.
Okay, so my field's still up.
You feel that, but you spend that focus point, by the way.
Yes.
That was your focus point. Spend that.
Yes.
And you can essentially
maintain that.
Maintain it. It's your turn, and you can, I believe you can sustain it.
Yes.
Or maybe not. Maybe you don't need to.
It just says 10 minutes till I do something else.
Okay, great.
I'll look it up.
Maybe go ahead. You don't need to sustain it. All right. Zostra, in the back.
And you said that the time field affects everyone that's in there now or everyone that's in there. Like if I entered it, would it affect me?
It would, but I haven't moved, so it doesn't give you a speed bonus yet. It
gives us nothing anyhow. Okay.
Right. No, I think it does because I think what it is, you and your allies gain a 5-foot status bonus to speed when you
take a move action.
I think that's supposed to mean like when the person who is affected takes a move action.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought I had to take a move action.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says when you, so that's...
It also doesn't, because it doesn't give a duration to the the speed bonus here. I think it's you. Just anybody who begins a move action inside the field gets a 5-foot bonus to the speed to that move action.
Okay. That sounds better.
If you move into it, you're not affected, but the next action you take is to move out of it, you'd speed up.
Is that just a stride, or is that any action with the move trait?
Any action with the move trait.
Oh. Doesn't step have the move trait?
I believe it does.
Wow. Oh, you can step 10.
Let you step 10 feet.
That's a good one.
I would like that.
Anyway, Scott, what do you want to do?
I guess I will just stand out here and watch everybody.
Oh, look at all that time warping.
Silently close the door and walk away.
Everyone that's in my way here. But I am going to do a weakening shot on the ooze, which allows me to, it's two actions, but it lets me aim. So my aim here lets me apply that effect to me, I think, or to them.
I think it was to you. I think you had it on you last time.
Let's see if that works.
Effect maybe you don't. Boom. No, that's the thing you're aiming at. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I think it gets it because I'm basically designating this as my mark. I'm marking that as my target.
Okay, that makes sense.
And actually, in that case... Or maybe it is on me.
It's because the effect says you deal extra damage.
True. But it also lowers the...
the cover bone.
The cover bonus by one. Okay, and then I'm just going to take a shot with that. Which lets me do that. You can take care of the cover. Don't know if that's going to hit, actually.
That will hit, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well. Yay.
And
it's a big, slow-moving ooze.
Okay, nice.
Aim on. Yep, now, this is nice. Precision damage. We'll see what that does to it.
We'll see, indeed. you do burn it with your laser, but there's no, like, your knowledge of anatomy doesn't avail you too much here.
It's
as you just kind
around.
Of are shooting at it. Well, no, it's just that it doesn't have any anatomy, and you can't apply precision damage to something that doesn't have guts to stab or burn.
Okay, I will then hold the rest of my turn until it gains anatomy.
Okay, well, 10 million years later.
Good luck, yeah.
I'm very patient.
Very good.
Actually, I'm just going to do a secondary strike then.
You did strike it, and you did weakening shot it. So what are we doing? Clumsy or enfeebled?
That's true. We're going to do enfeebled.
All right.
Since that didn't work the last time on somebody that tried to enfeeble it. And it seems to be striking out, you know, so to
it's
probably a little
more. It's using.
And then I'm going to go ahead and try and shoot it again with the map. It still is under the reduction for... cover.
That's a good.
Yep. And
so
that's
that
a hit.
Should hit. Damage. I'll throw in. Well, I'm not going to add precision then.
Just roll it and I'll take care of it.
Yeah. Well, it lets me turn it off or on.
That's fair. I have it will apply the resistance automatically. But you shoot it again. Blast.
I'm done for the next several million years now.
Great. Krysek.
This isn't going to be good. I don't know. I don't have the bludgeoning thing, so we'll try this. I will come up and I will strike it with my Dashko, just because, you know, I'm angry.
Yeah.
Why not?
And we have it in flank.
Right, yep. And it's something worth bashing.
That is a hit. A big hit.
It's a critical.
Okay. It is a critical hit.
It is.
He said, smirking, because he knows... something.
It doesn't care.
It doesn't do criticals.
But you can roll the damage.
Do I roll damage or do I roll hit that critical?
Let's just roll the regular damage.
Okay. I see.
If that's enough for you.
I see how that goes.
Right.
Oh,
hey,
nice.
Look at that. Max damage on that
still,
one.
Max damage. Yeah, 15.
Wow.
And something that we were talking about before we started recording is that when you hit something with a big Dashko, you suppress it. And the firemen arrive.
That's right.
That's the suppression warning.
Look out. Every time I hit something, there's alarms that go off. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I will hit it again.
Go for it.
Do it.
Yes. I suspect it's pretty easy to hit this massive ooze. Although that time you missed.
Stefan's not going to do it. Okay.
With a seven is not going to do it. No, exactly.
Easy, not that easy.
Okay.
Not that easy.
And I'm done. So.
What? You're doing piercing damage with your Dusk? Is that what
yeah.
That
okay. Yes. Okay.
That puts us at the top of the order again, right?
It does put us at the top of the order. Something that I'm just checking here, because I'm noticing the traits on the Dashko, and I don't know if that just got fact or not, but the unwieldy trait kind of says you're not allowed to use it more than once a round, or to use it as part of a reactive strike. Do you have reactive strike?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And it is.
It is, because it does so much. It's a big D12 of damage.
Yeah.
However... So are some other weapons in Pathfinder that don't take this penalty here. We'll look this up later, but just to keep it, we'll keep that in mind. So the robot is slowed down by this field, but it doesn't really seem to care too much. It's going to take a couple shots at someone. Who's it going to shoot at? That's a good question. Just straight across. I'm just sort of firing. It almost looks like it can't quite move its arm too much, so it's just shooting straight down. Thank you, Scott, for that fact category there. So we haven't been playing it wrong. They changed it. They got rid of unwieldy for the Dashko, which makes sense. But this means that Dr. Dume, you're basically in the line of fire here for this robot.
As what? It takes a
caster pistol shot at you, the 23 that is going to hit and deal a little bit of damage. Good shot. Minimum damage 4 electricity damage. Again, it's this sort of pew, 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 firing off. Another hit with an 18, or hopefully a little more than minimum 6 damage, and the final shot.
Like this
12 intruder alert. Pew, pew, pew. Just a couple, just shots directly in your direction. Jode, you're surrounded. You're wounded. What do you want to do?
I am both surrounded and wounded. What I think I'd like to do is this. I am going to cast a spell. I'm going to create a disc of shimmering force and have it bounce from one target to another. I'm going to attack both creatures with my ricochet.
All right, they both get DC a reflex save.
17 basic reflex, please.
Do you have to duck as it goes past you?
It kind of goes in a big circle, I guess. I
the assembly ooze has critically failed.
Oh, that's delightful. It's force damage, so.
And very nice. The observer class robot has succeeded. So we'll just take half damage on the robot.
And double damage on the ooze.
Yeah, I'm immune to critical hits, not critical failures on my own part.
Ah.
I would say.
Like that.
This disc maybe bounces off the robot first and then shoots around the room and just implants itself right in the ooze and practically causes it to explode. But it's still up and running. Bleeding and enfeebled and whatnot. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have one more action, don't you?
I do, and I'm a little torn, right? Because I could heal myself a little bit, or I could get a better grip on my gun so the thing doesn't take it. You know, Aslanti Star Empire training kicks in, and I will make sure that no enemy gets a hold of one of the famed fabled Aeon rifles. I will take an action to readjust my grip.
Okay.
If you fall because you get hit again, they're gonna get your gun.
As hard as it hits, to be honest, I think even if I healed myself, I might still fall.
It's fair.
But at least I'll die with my gun in my hand, just like I was trained in the Aslanti military.
Well, it's this thing's turn. This ooze is now, I think, going to go after this massive bladed weapon that hit it once.
Can I get rid of it? Did he already get his bleed?
He gets his bleed at the end of the turn.
Oh, at the end of his turn. That's right.
Yes. So here we go. Crash check. It comes at pseudopod comes whizzing at your face. That's a 22, which I believe is going to hit you.
Yup.
Crap.
But the enfeebled is going to reduce this damage a little bit. 7 instead of 8. Most of that sort of bludgeoning damage, but a little bit of acid cutting through. And I think, yes, I think we will attempt to disarm that Dashko.
Mm.
Take this. A net 20 critical success.
The Ooze actually
is knocked out of your hand.
Oh.
The Ooze actually realizes it is also not in Wildy.
Yeah, oh, look at that. Give me that. It's delicious. It can't quite do it. It sort of knocked to the ground, basically in your space. And it doesn't, it looks like there are sort of like the base of this ooze is beginning to kind of like creep towards it on the ground, but it doesn't do anything. It's, yeah, but it's trying to get it and grab at it. And though I think I will take my final action to turn around and sort of bash Eshwar in the face with a hit. And another nat 20, I'm on fire.
Wow.
For a big critical bashing. That's okay. Eshwar, you were unwounded until this point. Terrible rolls. 6 points on a critical hit, which is less than I've done on regular hits up to this point.
Yeah.
Just rolled like 2 ones, I think, on those dice there. And that is the Ooze's turn. Starchild.
Wait. I want to do the persistent bleed.
All right. Yes. Go. He takes three bleed damage.
I like that.
And I will see if I recover from this bleed. I do not. So again, I guess this bludgeoning sort of ruptured a bit of the ooze's sort of like surface tension, and yeah, these broken nanobots and protoplasm are kind of just like leaking out.
Oh, excellent!
All right, Steph, your turn.
But it's not down, right?
It's not down. It's still moving.
Okay, I am going to Who should I get him on?
That's up to you.
I know, but I can't decide.
Yeah, get him on Jode.
All right.
Put him down. He's almost dead.
I'm easy to finish off where I'm at now.
No, you're not wrong. But I'm not going to do that. I am going to get him on the ooze. Let's get rid of that.
Okay.
And I'm going to electric arc again.
Does the get
opponents
right? Terrific. The get'em require you to make an attack roll to lead by example, or is it just sort of any sort of attack?
Let me look.
There you go. It just says attack.
One minus. If you attack the target before the end of your turn.
Since Get'em applies a penalty to AC and reflex saves, I'm just going to rule right now that if you are targeting AC or reflex, it counts as lead by example.
Sweet. Okay.
I think that makes sense to me. I'm not sure if it's meant to be something that is attack and this sort of has the attack trait, which the spell wouldn't have because it's a reflex save. Whatever. Let's find out what happens. The ooze is going to roll a 9 on that one.
A failure.
Which is a big old failure. And then the old robot is, this may finish them both off. A 13, also a failure. All right. So that's a whopping 5 damage, which, as we know, sort of shocks the robot, and it kind of just completely shorts out. Mm-hmm. The lights in it go dim. It sort of drops the weapon and goes... The ooze also takes some damage.
Great. The ooze is still there.
It's still there. Indeed.
But it's get-em'd.
It's so get-em'd.
Everybody gets a bonus to damage.
That's correct. All right. Eswar.
Okay. Do I need to add that to, or is that already calculated?
It's already factored in there.
Okay, great. Then I am just going to hit it a lot. Yeah.
I approve.
Okay. Starting off with a 16 to hit.
That'll hit.
We've decided does hit, so.
Mm-hmm.
Damage is 7.
7 damage. Bash. This thing is basically now just almost completely flattened.
Well, then let's do it again.
But it's still twitching and writhing. Oh, big hits. Good roll. For the 20 is a big hit. Yep.
Big hit. Oh, minimum damage.
Only five damage.
Now you're 20.
But that's enough to finish it off.
Yeah.
Oh, last swipe with your solar flail, and it just sort of is a smear on the ground. All of these sort of like whatever goo is made out of it is just is completely inert at this point.
Okay,
That's excellent.
Yeah.
So we need some parts in here. We also.
I need to finish
some of us are injured.
Oh,
several of us.
Injured.
It does look like in.
Sorry, I'm a slap.
You finished off the robot with your electric arc. Yeah. It does look like there's like after this ooze sort of like dies and kind of like just sort of almost melts into a puddle, that there's some solid objects in there.
Ah,
like ooze poop.
Metal look like they're made of, like, you know, technological.
Stuff that it collected. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost. Krizek Goshko was almost one of those things.
Yeah. That's true.
That is true.
Oh, look, here's one laying down here at your feet.
we had to look through that stuff and see if there's anything good.
Sure. I'm not injured. I can take some time to do that while others get healed up. You don't want me healing you either.
No, I don't.
Joe, it looks like you're maybe casting some healing spells, so you can
let us know
how that goes.
Yes, I need to. I had recovered my focus point, but I don't see how one does that.
You can just kind of click it into your character sheet. You don't need to like do any macros or anything. Let's see. It's in there, right? Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's like a little radio button that you can just turn on.
I see it. And now I see it. I will.
Who's going to get the healing?
Keeps telling me I don't have enough focus points when I have a focus point.
Well, you've cast the spell. It's in the chat, so just click. If you click, did you try clicking the how many actions you're using?
Oh, I did. Okay, I see it now.
You need to scroll down. Yeah. So when you said you're casting the spell, it spends the focus point for you, and then you just have to decide how many actions you're using on it.
Right. Two on myself, and I get myself some healing.
You get 9 healing.
Anybody else hurt?
Oh, yeah.
I'm down 10.
I'm very much hurt.
Yep. The first thing I need to do is take 10 minutes in quiet contemplation and prayer to Lasala, the deity I was trained to follow, about how we all of us have to, we have to do what we must to earn our place. And my place is to make sure you get healed. So I'm going to pause for 10 minutes while I contemplate getting my focus points back if other people seem like they're plundering the place.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Those of you who sort of go over to the puddle and kind of look through it, you do spot a used comm unit, a pretty recent model. It's not nothing, but also what looks to be a handheld technological device with a sort of a handle and a screen. Let me see if I have an image of it. Oh, well, there you go. I've just said what it was. It looks like a little bit of a Game Boy. And it has like a brand name on it. Like it's an Abadar Core radiation sweeper. Mm-hmm. You know, it's printed on the side. But it kind of looks like it's kind of shaped like a Geiger counter essentially, right? With a screen on it and dials and ratchets and whatever for beeping. And when you use it, it just sort of pings to let you know that if there's radiation nearby. Okay. So who wants these things? Who wants to carry these things around? Not if anybody.
I'll take them.
All right. Okay. There you are. There you go. They're in your inventory now.
Awesome.
But that's about it. And you can tell as Joe is sort of looking around too, this sort of like console on the back wall looks like a series of like breaker panels. Mm-hmm. That are all, some of them are a little fried, it looks like, and some of them are a little frayed, some of them are a little old, but they're not like completely destroyed. They could be rendered into working condition with a little bit of TLC.
Okay.
I could probably assist with that.
But we were hoping to get what we needed to make the elevator work, right?
Right. These are the fuse for the elevator was blown. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere, right? This is what I'm saying. So these are the breaker panels for the air, for like the elevator, maybe another room or whatever, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What skill would one use to do that? That'd be like crafting.
Crafting is just generally what you'd use to repair things. If you've got like engineering lore or electronics lore or tech lore,
no, I've got some crafting though.
Okay. Now the
very little amount of crafting.
Do you want to roll an aid check, Steph?
Yeah, but can that go bad? Like if I
it can if you enough? If you critically fail, if you get a 5 or less on the total roll, you will critically fail. Hmm. Or roll a net 1.
Well, I'm feeling lucky.
Sure.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. You feel lucky.
That's more.
All right, 15. That's exactly what you need to succeed. So, Mark, you get a plus 1.
Okay.
To this check.
So, let's see.
That's if you choose to take the advice of Starchild.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
And
although the advice is probably something like, okay, close your eyyes.
Not very good. That's a 9.
Feel your way.
Yep.
Okay, so it wasn't great advice, but I was really good at giving it.
Yes, you're right. It could have been a little bit worse, but yeah, you're in there as well, and you're it's like a a rat's nest of wires, and some of them are old and frayed, and some of the fuses are just sort of completely blown out, and you're not sure that you can fix it this minute. You'd have to take a little more time.
Okay.
So I'm gonna regain focus points too while they're doing
sure,
this.
Yeah, makes sense.
Focus point.
Ron, you've got your you've got a focus point back, and
excellent.
Ron, you've got a focus point back.
I look around to see who's hurt.
Me.
It's easier to weed out who's not hurt.
Yeah,
that might be the case.
Yeah, pretty
all right.
much.
I'm hurt. Well, Vic is hurt.
I have Krajic an ability to weed out the not hurt.
And Dr. Dumais are badly injured, whereas Eswar is only injured.
Right.
Well, let me do two things. The first, I'm going to use my infusion focus spell in order to heal everybody.
Ooh, nice.
3 actions, roll healing.
Don't do the ooze.
Let's have everybody have 6 points back.
Nice.
Very good.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
That will put me at full.
Oh.
Excellent. Oop. Now, Vic Dumais still needs a little bit of healing.
Yeah, I'm down 4.
4? Well, that's treat wounds range there.
I can treat wounds as well if anybody needs, so.
I am down 8.
Oof. All right.
So 1/3 of my hit points.
Wow. All right. I can try treat wounds on Krajic?
Does this work on Vic Dumais? Let's see what happens when I do this. Oh my goodness.
Oh boy.
What he just then? Throws a lot of dice around.
Well, you rolled a critical success on that, so you get that 48, which amounts to 21 hit points of healing. So you're on Vic there.
Alright.
And then never mind. I'll be quiet. I was about to say, when I overheal somebody, good things happen to my vitality network, but my vitality network is, first of all, full right now, and secondly, it doesn't apply to battle medicine. It only applies to healing spells.
Well, that is, fair enough, yeah. But this is treat wounds, not battle medicine, right? Because battle medicine is something you would use in combat wounds. And has a full 24-hour cooldown, whereas treat wounds has an hour cooldown, basically.
Right.
All right, I will try treat wounds on Krajic for 13, it looks like.
Very well done.
That's good.
So you're patching up Krajic while Jode is patching you up. It's a nice little like massage.
We get a
train.
Patch and chain, yeah.
Exactly.
like braiding hair.
And as, braiding as, indeed, hair. As you are doing that, there is a sort of so you're sort of outside of the room a little bit, maybe keeping an eye on the corridor as you come in. Someone comes kind of approaching down sort of from the south, sort of like looks around very cautiously around the corner. It's one of the ghost couriers.
I was about to say it's one of the ghost couriers, probably.
She says, hi.
Hello again.
She's kind of looking back the way she came, and she says, I'm gonna, she's kind of like, doesn't have her weapon out or anything, right? So she's not trying to be aggressive. So, she kind of inches forward into, she's like, mind if I,
I gotta
ask you something.
Come on in.
And just looking past to see, okay. Oh boy, you got, okay.
Let the others know. Hey, we got company. It's one of the previous ones.
Oh, is it somebody who needs healing? We're doing a lot of healing around here.
Oh, no, I'm good. Thanks. I mean, not me, but, look, Tamarin didn't want to mention this to y'all folks, but, I think there might be someone in trouble down here. Yeah, you know how he told you that there was a group of folks just sort of, and she sort of points around the corner to the kind of like north of where you are. Said they were acting, they're a little unhinged and weird. There was this other group down here when this all happened. This tour group, right? This little Skittermander tour guide and a couple, Sheeran folk who were visiting the station were down here.
Didn't we see when a this jacket all happened? For a tour company or something? A jacket or a hat?
A flashlight.
That's right.
Tour company. Well, they got down here. They were down here when all this happened, and Tamron and I saw that, like, they were kind of stumbling around. They got scared, right? Whatever happened was weird, obviously. And they stumbled on the corner, and they came into contact with these weirdos. I don't know. They were dressed funny. They said something about all glory to the newborn, and grabbed the Skittermander and the two Sheeran and dragged them off into that room. And I don't think their intentions were like totally on the up and up.
Yeah, sounds pretty sus.
Yeah,
it definitely does. Tamara didn't want to do anything. I don't think I could take them on. There's at least like four of them in there, I think. Four or five of them, and I don't think I could take them on my own. But there's five of you. You look like you're pretty well competent folks. So I'm just telling you someone might be in trouble. And if you want to do anything about it, hey, if you want to keep your nose clean, I totally understand that too. That's generally what the ghost courier motto.
Oh gosh, I want to do something
fine,
about it.
Yeah, I think our group may look
people
to be
in danger.
If nothing else, we can return their flashlight.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you got a way out of here.
Well, if they've been kidnapped.
Well, we're working on that, actually.
Yeah, we need to get these this circuit breaker fixed.
Oh, if you all want to, I know my way around a circuit board. I can take care of this while you lot want to see if those people need help. I'd be happy to do that.
Well, yeah, I got nothing to do with it, so I can go.
Yeah, we should go help them out. What else can you tell us about the weirdos?
Oh, gosh, they were chant. So there's a door up here to the north, but there's also like a way you can get by through the catwalks and sort of peering in on them. Everyone, listen, we can hear them. I don't know, chanting or something from that room. And there's like a smell, like an awful kind of stench coming from that room as well. I didn't get too close because I was afraid they might see me, but it.
Oh, smart.
Kind of smells musty and moldy. Hmm. So,
this has kind of gone from, kidnappers to like full on weird cult behavior.
I could be. We see a lot of strange stuff down here in the ghost levels, especially in the past couple of days. And this is the weirdest thing that I've seen in a long time.
Well, I mean, it started weird with that voice that we all heard.
It is awake.
Well, you heard that too?
Yeah, in the elevator.
Yes.
Oh, it was coming through our comm units at one point.
Wait, really?
That's when we knew something was wrong.
We've seen it on screens ever since.
And you know what? The robots were saying it too, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yep.
The maintenance robots.
Yep.
And the ads and It's a thing.
Yeah, I said this is the weirdest thing that's happened in the Ghost Levels.
I mean, with the ads, you know, I thought it was just a marketing campaign, frankly.
But for what?
I don't know. Maybe some sort of caffeine.
I don't know if a caffeine drink ad would trap us all in this part of the Ghost Levels.
Hey, they got to get creative nowadays.
Yeah. Well, keep you awake, though.
Should be against the law, if that's the case.
There are much better ways to go about a campaign. Okay.
Well, we can discuss that later. First,
we got to help.
Feeling better?
I'm feeling good.
Yes. Are we done talking so we can do more killing?
Well, let's check
and
it out.
And rescuing. And rescuing. Christ, we're going to do some killing and some rescuing.
It's not blanket killing. It's just selective.
Right. You got to be, yes. You got to be focused and purposeful in the killing. Okay. Not everybody.
We'll do the rescue and then the other stuff if necessary.
Kill weird, moldy smelling people. Got it.
Well, not all of them. Some of them are probably just fine.
I don't know. That's actually probably a pretty good high level directive. We can get specific if we need to.
I'll remember that when I become old and moldy.
So there's basically two ways you can go. There's this doorway, which has a normal sort of corridor, so two abreast. And then there's the catwalk area, which the ghost car explains that you'll have to go single file into the room.
Mm. But they both get you inside the same
space. They both will get you in the same space, yeah. You might have a little bit of a height advantage if you go to the catwalk, obviously, but...
Yeah, and we can see what's going on maybe a little better first, but it'll take longer, right?
We have to go around. It won't take much longer. They're just, like, above you. Not this particular catwalk that's in, you know, kind of... There's a ladder in the back end of this room. Mm-hmm. But the one you sort of saw earlier, there's another catwalk that kind of goes across this way and some of the other corridors.
Okay. So, well, I prefer the catwalk, but we can be more direct.
You can all split up if you want to. You can do it that way. That's up to you.
Well, in this case, because we know where we're going. I'm also for the catwalk. I'm obligated to.
I will not be on the catwalk. That's for cowards.
Okay.
I feel like I can't pick the catwalk.
splitting the party here.
I'm going to put Zostra and Starchild on the sort of southern end of the catwalk. If you guys go up north and turn around, the ghost courier tells you that's the way to go. And then, like, the rest of you, or if anyone else wants to go on the catwalk, but here's the doorway.
Our comms are working okay in here, right?
Your comms are working okay. Yeah, yeah. You can communicate with each other.
We can coordinate this.
I like doing that.
Let's go, Starchild.
Yeah, let's split up and.
So this is this way is the door.
Okay.
Is the one that is behind which is something. Right. You get a little closer. You can kind of get a little whiff of that sort of like moldy kind of smell. Kind of smells like old. Must and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's just a sort of vague, faint, rhythmic sound. Maybe voices going. Yeah, kind of like that. Low. It's almost. It's almost impossible to hear over the humming of the. Well, there's no lights in here. It's completely dark. You can kind of hear it. Up on the catwalk, you guys are sort of approaching again. You can kind of hear that and smell it. You can see that just sort of ahead of you. Before we go on any further, Starchild, you do not have any way to see in the dark.
Yep.
Zostra is walking with cat eyes just going ahead. What do you want to do for light to be able to see?
You can hold my tail and just follow me.
I have low light vision.
Yes, but there is no light. So you need some light. You can see in dim light, okay, but with nothing, you're in the darkness.
I'm fine with the tail, like holding on to your tail until something happens.
Until something happens? All right.
And then I don't think I actually have anything on me, though.
I think our suits come with...
Oh, the comm units.
Your comm units have real like, you know, cell level flashlight technology, basically. Yeah,
10-foot radius kind of thing, 5-foot radius.
And I wonder if these kidnappers need light, and so maybe you'll be able to sneak up on them and see when we get close.
Yeah.
If you can't see.
I would ask Starchild either we don't use light, or you wait until, or you wait back a little further with yours so I can get in and see.
Well, at any point that you want to keep going, like if you see something interesting, but you don't want it. So, as of right now,
if you're okay without light, just follow.
I'm just following immediately behind you, but it means that I can't do anything until I turn on my comm unit light.
Sure. Basically, yeah. Cool.
So I guess at any point that you need me to do something, then you move forward
and
stay where I am. But
I'm not sure.
Actually, as a player, I can't see anything right now, so I am just
exactly because your token is in complete darkness. You can kind of see Zosra sort of. You can tell he's directly in front of you, but you can't really see make any kind of details out. Right. Zosra, I'm going to ask you to make me a stealth check.
Sure. Ooh, stealth.
Everybody, or just. The two.
No, just Zosra. Just Zosra. Oh, okay. Up there, right? You creep up ahead, right? And you get to sort of, you can see ahead of you the edge of the catwalk that leads to a set of ladders that can go into a room, right?
I see him.
But you can't quite see into the room. But there is a kind of a faint, kind of purple light kind of emanating from this area. Mm-hmm. You can hear a little more clearly now. People kind of chanting along. There's a sort of rhythmicness to it, right? Rhythm is just the word, not rhythmicness. Rhythm is a perfectly adequate word. There's a certain rhythm to it. And you can every so often hear, it's in a little bit of an odd language, but you definitely can make out the occasional word, the newborn. The newborn awakens. The newborn is awake. They will bring glory upon us. They will change the universe. Change the universe. It definitely sounds like three or four or five people in there sort of chanting a bit. You do hear at one point a kind of a squeaky, high-pitched, clearly Skittermander voice say, you know, what's going to happen to us? And then a woman's voice saying, no, your death will be grist for the mill, food for the newborn. Your suffering will feed it well.
That's not good.
Yeah.
It's pretty ominous.
That I could understand.
Okay. Yeah. She said it in Galactic Comment. Yeah.
Okay. That's the point at which I get on the comms and say, light them up.
Okay.
Light them up.
Eswar, you go to open the door.
Yep.
And it's locked. And that's where we'll end it for the night, this episode. Faced with a locked door, what will our heroes do?
Find the key!
Find out next time!
Break it down!
Yeah.
Knock.